You're listening to part two of Starkraven's interview with several community members who had been occupying the Hanlon Creek Business Park development site in the south end of Guelph starting July 27, 2009. An eviction notice for July 30th was issued to all those participating in the occupation, but a Guelph court granted them a one-week reprieve with certain conditions. That week ends today, August 10th.
What is the significance of the potential presence of the Jefferson Salamander on the site, and how is the city dealing with this?
The Jefferson Salamander is an endangered species, and there are not many known habitats that cater to the Jefferson Salamander. It has particular breeding needs, and a Jefferson Salamander has been found here on site, which means that this particular ecosystem is particularly special. And to impact the site without having confirmed the location of the breeding pond for the Jefferson Salamander could further put the species at risk, you know, taking the species one step closer to extinction. The Ministry of Natural Resources, we've just learned, has recommended that the city not go ahead with any construction on the site because the city has not located the location of the breeding pond. Yet the city has ignored this and is going ahead anyway with the destruction of the land.
What would be the impacts of developing the Hanlon Creek Business Park on the local drinking water and the health of the land?
Well, I don't know too much about the way that it would impact the drinking water, except that part of the land is on the, I think it's called the Paris Galt Moraine. And moraines are kind of like natural structures left over from glaciers that provide a lot of filtration. So an impact on the drinking water would be potential pollution of the aquifer and just potentially like making the drinking water less healthy and more, like with more sediments. And just like the land has like natural ways of making water safer and cleaner, and the more that you mess around with the ways those structures being set up, like the more risks you're taking with the health of the water. And then, I mean, the land, like, right now this is a wild place. There's such diversity of species. I was talking to people in the neighborhood tonight who see coyotes and deer in their backyards. We've seen so many different bird species out here. Amazing diversity of plants in the meadows. The woods are just, like, beautiful and rich with life. The fish in the stream, you know, all those things are going to disappear if this becomes concrete. And even, I mean, you can tell the difference from being in the city and it being really hot and humid in the summer to coming out here and it being a much more comfortable temperature. And even that is like, yeah, forests have this sort of natural like heat regulating mechanisms that concrete doesn't, and concrete just absorbs heat. And it, so even like the way that it makes us feel as people living, it's like really different. So, I don't know, like, the overall health of the land would be, like, really seriously impacted. You can't, it's not an old-growth forest if it's surrounded in concrete. It's a joke. It's like a novelty. So,
how do you feel about the argument that Mayor Farbridge and the city councilors should be focusing more on environmentally friendly developments in the brownfields around the city? Do you think they would ever focus on that?
Well, it seems like a waste of like really beautiful land when there's all this, you know, empty development, like land that's meant to be developed. I don't know if the council, I think that would be really smart. Well, I feel like that would be like, that's the kind of, I mean, I disagree that development even needs to happen. I feel like we should be sort of like slowing down, and this emphasis on constant growth isn't necessary. But if the city is committed to development, like, they should be looking at land that's in waste right now instead of, you know, beautiful and sensitive and in need of protection. Yeah, I think it's a better option, I guess, if development needs to happen, for it to happen on brownfields.
Another thing that struck me about the occupation site was that the occupation crew is well organized and has managed to create a comfortable temporary living situation, including several tarped structures and a cooking area. Can you talk a bit about how that developed?
Yeah, it was really, it's kind of amazing because it, from the beginning, it hasn't seemed like there's been leaders or people sort of directing what needs to happen. It's kind of the initiative of individuals who have been around, like the things that are needed or the things that are important. People just kind of make them happen. So, I mean, the composting toilet is pretty necessary just to make... the Port-a-John probably would have gotten filled up by now, but the composting toilet's a really good way of dealing with human waste, so that's kind of just taking care of a necessity, and people take turns emptying it and making sure that it's disposed of safely and stuff like that. And then the structures have just been, like, sort of slowly built as people have the initiative and, like, the vision to make them happen, and seeing them go up is really exciting, so these, like, major communal undertakings. This has been kind of a test of, like, creativity and ingenuity and, like, collective sort of strength, and it's about, like, building a safe, healthy place for us to be and to be able to, like, demonstrate a better way of living. So seeing that happen, like, really naturally and organically has been really exciting.
Would you be able to speak a bit about the old growth forest?
Yeah. I spent a few hours there today, and it's a really special place. This forest in particular, it's, like, this unique sort of joining of, like, the Carolinian forest from the south and, like, the sort of southern boreal forest. So there's actually, like, a really huge amount of biodiversity in the trees, which in itself is a really special thing. It's, like, a beautiful mix of deciduous and coniferous trees. We saw huge old beech trees that are just, like, unbelievable, and spruce and hemlock and birch and all kinds of other species, I'm sure. We found these, like, great big conch mushrooms of some kind growing off one of the trees. And what's interesting about it being a forest or an old growth is that there's less light reaching the floor of the forest, which means that more of the sort of like biomatter is in the canopy of the trees. And we actually climbed to the top of this big hemlock, and like looking out over the whole canopy, you can just like see just how rich the land is. And I mean, it feels really undisturbed. We stopped and looked at this place where one of the sort of defining features of an old growth forest, you know it's old growth when there are trees there that are over 150 years old. And another part, way that you can tell it's old growth is like the contours of the land, and if there are these sort of giant ridges of land, and those ridges are actually where old trees have fallen and like rotted away and become land for new trees to grow on. And so it was really amazing to like look at this one tree that was growing out of this big bump in the land, and that bump in the land was maybe like a 300-year-old tree that had fallen over, and then this tree was like maybe a 75-year-old tree growing out of it, which means like right there's like 400 years of life like represented by that like one space. And that's like, it's really powerful. Undisturbed forests, you don't see that often, and I think like it has a really different like feeling about it. But it's like, yeah, it's a really special place. And I think that they're going to build around the old growth or something like that, but that's a really, I don't know, it's just such a, it's such a dishonor to that place, and like that forest needs to spread and needs to grow rather than to just be confined until it dies off. Like, that would be such a shame.
Can you speak a bit about the archaeological assessment of the Hanlon Creek Business Park?
I don't really know much about that, although I do know that they found evidence of people using this land for as long as 11,000 years ago, I think.
It seems like there's a lot of people who would like to know how they can help protect Guelph's last old growth forest. Do you, or has the large group of people here, have any suggestions?
I think like the big thing is the city needs to hear, like the mayor and councillors need to hear from as many voices as possible that this is an unacceptable approach to development. And like, I think public support for the occupation as well as like dissent against the development is like really important. And that can like take lots of shapes, you know, like phoning and emailing and visiting your city councillors and writing letters, coming to our court date on Tuesday or future court dates in support of protests, as well as like hounding City Hall. And I think like there's this tendency in people to say like, oh, I disagree with this, but like the law is already, you know, the regulations have already been passed, so like it's going to happen. And I think law is only as good as the people who make it, and we still have the power to like undo bad decisions. And I think like emphasizing that, like, this is, it doesn't have to be a done deal just because they say it does. I think like at this point, if the mayor and city council know that like the city of Guelph won't tolerate it, they'll have to backtrack. And so I think like they really need to hear from as many people as possible.
Anything you'd like to say in closing?
You can't replace an old growth forest, you know? This is like a big mistake. This land is really sacred and really special, and the space that we're creating is also really special, and that's because it comes out of like great love and like a recognition of how important, how much more important wild places and the environment is than like a little bit more money. And I think we need just like more imagination and like conviction that transformative change and like new ideas can take root, rather than like this stupid old paradigm that's gotten us into so much trouble. Like, we're just like, as a culture, just walking down a really stupid road, or driving really down a stupid road right now, and there are alternatives and possibilities. We just have to be brave enough to imagine them, so we should do it.